I want to ask you to turn your Bibles again to the book of
Hebrews and chapter number 11. One more time tonight. I don't know how many more times I'll preach out of this chapter, but I ask you to pray for me. If I can get $125 together, I'm going to buy me a set of commentaries by John Owen on the book of Hebrews. And we may preach off and on in this book for a long time.
Amen.
It's a tremendous book in the Bible.
Amen.
And so many of the things in chapter number 11 have a significance in the book of Genesis and Exodus and so forth, and even into the Judges and other places, that you can gain a good history of the nation of Israel and what happened to them through studying the book of Hebrews. It is a book written to the Hebrews. And so we may spend some more time in this particular book, and God being our helper, and preach just as long in it as the Lord will let us. I know we're going to at least look at Moses, and we're going to look at the Red Sea crossing. We're going to look at Jericho and Rahab, the Lord being our helper. I know in this chapter, before we close out of it, and all different aspects of faith, and see what God will do for us in our life. I was praying today, and I, you know, sometimes I'm hesitant to say this word, told. But I told the Lord that I really, you know, I enjoy high-spirited services. I enjoy shouting, testifying, and good fervent singing. But I don't have to have that to serve Him. But what I do need is real liberty in the church service.
Amen.
And if God will give us liberty and just let us do what God wants us to do without the devil hindering us, that'll be fine with me. You see, you can't always have the showers. Like I preached a few weeks ago on a Tuesday night when I was preaching on that foundered prophets. There comes a time when you got to plow, and there comes a time you got to sow, and then there comes a time you got to harvest, and there comes a time when the showers. Now the showers, that's when that Word of God's soaking in and we're rejoicing and having a good time in God. Plowing sometimes is a little difficult. And sowing is not too hard a lot of times, but different seasons in the Word of God. And right now, we're not really in the season of the showers, but oh, October is just a couple of months down the road. Amen. And it's unknown what the Lord might do for us then. All right, Hebrews chapter 11, if you find that when you stand with me, please, we'll read one verse of Scripture tonight, and I'll try to bring the message the Lord has laid upon my heart. The Bible said in verse number 23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." Now let's pray together. Father, we do thank you tonight for the privilege that we have to assemble together. And thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. Thank you for the good fellowship we've enjoyed. And Lord, the good testimonies. My, how you move the hearts of your people with testimonies. And I thank God that, Lord, the redeemed can say so. And in their saying so, the hearts of others can be touched and blessed and helped and encouraged, Lord, from the testimonies of your people. I pray now that you bless the Word of God. Help Brother Hall as I stand. Give me some power to preach. And Lord, just what liberty it takes to say everything that God would have me to say. And we'll thank you for saving souls. And Lord, helping the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. Let's look at this verse of Scripture tonight. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, that verse of Scripture has its occasion in Exodus chapter number 2. I'll not really be preaching out of that chapter. In fact, I'll not be preaching much at all on Moses' parents at all. But I do want to take that last statement that was made there, where he said that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And if God will help me tonight, I want to preach on this thought, be not afraid. Be not afraid. The Bible said there they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Now, church fear is real. You mark that down. I mean, it is something that can and will be experienced by all. We need to have godly fear. But I'll tell you, the wrong kind of fear will cause us to be hindered greatly in our service to God. And this thought occurred to me today that doubt is the mother of fear. Anytime you begin to doubt God and His promises, it's going to breed fears and dismays in your heart and in your life. Now, when we come to this verse of Scripture, several years have passed in the history of Israel between verse 22 and 23. In fact, probably some 200 years have already come to pass in the history of that nation when we read verse at number 23. May I say, according to Exodus chapter number 1 and verse 6, that Joseph has died. And when we preached on Joseph on Sunday morning and saw that his life had been exalted in the land of Egypt. He had become the governor of that country. And God had rewarded him and blessed him and had given him an exalted position in that land. But when we come to verse number 23, Joseph is dead. And a new king over Egypt has arisen to power. And because of Joseph's death, Israel has lost their favored estate or their favored status with the people of Egypt, with the Egyptians. I want everybody to look right up here. I don't know if I can explain this to you or not, but many times God's blessings, God will bless people because of His grace that's bestowed upon a certain individual. If you read in the life of Joseph, you'll find there where when he went to Potiphar's house, that God prospered that household, not because of Potiphar, but because of the presence of Joseph in that house. And then when he went to the prison, God also prospered that prison keeper because of the presence of Joseph there in that prison. And I'm satisfied that God exalted him to that position in Egypt that he might be, that God might use him to bless Jacob, his father, and the nation of Israel when they come down to sojourn in the land of Egypt. Now, I cannot explain all that to you, but I'm satisfied that what I'm telling you is right, that God many times will bless somebody simply because of the presence of somebody else. Hey, grace is a marvelous thing. And only eternity will tell about the blessings that you and I have because God has given favor and grace somebody that lives around us. I tell you, I believe sometimes the blessings in a household are there even if there's a lost husband or a lost wife simply because the other one is saved. God will bless them both together. But Joseph is dead and that favored status has departed and the king of Egypt has changed hands. And Israel has begun to be afflicted by the nation of Egypt. But you know, a marvelous thing happened. The Bible tells me in Exodus 1 that the more they were afflicted, that the more they multiplied. The more that they were afflicted, the more fruitful they became. Brother, I'll tell you, afflictions and hardships and trials and heartaches do not discourage the work of grace that is being done in the life of a child of God. Brother, there's just something about afflictions that will draw a truly born-again child of God closer to Him. That's right, that's right. And your faith will not depreciate, and your fruitfulness will not depreciate. You will not become barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God, but you will seemingly grow and become more fruitful for the honor and the glory of God. Sometimes I believe God does that just to prove to the devil and the world that His grace is sufficient for us in every need. That's right, I want to run that by you again. I think sometimes God does that to prove to the devil that His grace is sufficient in our life to produce a fruitful and a joyful and a happy life in God's people, regardless of whatever situation they might be in their life. That's right. Hey, I want to say to you, don't get down now. That's right. Hey, hard times had come on these people. That new Pharaoh in Egypt had put out a proclamation. Every man child is to be cast into the Nile River, lest Israel grow to the place that our enemy, when we go to war, that they join forces with our enemy and fight against us. But the more the devil tried to afflict them, the more they grew and multiplied, the more the grace of God was manifest in their life. I guess what I'm trying to say is, where sin did abound, grace doth much more abound in the lives of the people of God. That's right. And the devil, you know, tried to afflict them and tried to hinder them and stop them. But the harder he worked, the more grace God gave. And it seemed like the more they became fruitful and multiplied. And the commandment went out. The commandment went out. I want to read this. I've got some things in here that I don't want to lose. That commandment went out. It was there that Pharaoh commanded all the male newborns to be cast into the Nile River. But it was by a favor and the grace of God that old Moses was preserved by his parents. There they saw that child. And he was a goodly child. And the Bible said, now everybody look right up here. I don't have this in my message. And if you'll read Exodus chapter number 2, it does not say a whole lot there about the birth of Moses. But I don't want you to get the idea when you read there that they looked on Moses and his face was pretty. That he is a pretty little boy. And so because he was cute and charming, his mom and daddy just decided to spare him rather than obey that commandment of the king and throw him into the Nile River. No, sir, I believe somewhere along the line that his parents, Jochebed, his mama, and Amram, his daddy, had been visited by the Holy Ghost of God, and he had conveyed some way to their heart that this was to be the boy that God would raise up to be a deliverer of the nation of Israel. And brother, they were willing to hazard their own lives, refused to be afraid of the king's commandment, hazarded their own lives, hid that boy 3 months that he might go on to be the child that would deliver the nation of Israel out of the iron furnace by the grace and power of Almighty God. Amen. That's right. And so they hid that baby 3 months. The message I'm trying to say is, don't be afraid. They were not afraid of the king's commandments. They were not afraid of what man could do to them. Brother, we live in a generation where our Baptist brethren and we alike are scared to death of what man can do to us. We're afraid of magistrates. We're afraid of judges. We're afraid of politicians. We're afraid of the laws of the land. We're afraid of every ordinance of man that is contrary to the will of God, the work of God, and the Word of God. And I'm afraid, my friend, that the devil's backed us up in a corner, and we've lost our power and our influence because of the fears that run in our heart. That's right. Listen, I want to read this to you. Faith is a spiritual grace which enables us, its possessors to look away from human terrors and confide in the unseen hand. Did you hear what I said? Faith is a spiritual virtue that will enable its possessor to look away from the human terrors of life and lay hold to the unseen hand of Almighty God. Friend, I'll tell you, when we was going through this thing with liquor coming into the city and we was preaching against it on the station and even got a call from the mayor's office and got a nice letter raking us over the coals from the mayor himself, and we just kept on a hammer. Had one of the deacons in the church said, "Brother Hall," said, "you better back off," said, "don't you know that you're going to make the mayor and all the politicians mad at us?" I said, "Praise God, it might be a good thing for some of them to get mad. I'm telling you what the problem is. We're afraid of the King's commandment, brother, and we've got fear in our hearts, and we ought to be a living for the glory of God, like Brother Doug said, out somewhere in the streets of carrying the gospel to the lost and dead, that they might be saved, not being afraid of the King's commandment, just preaching the Word of God." That's right. That's right. Listen here what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" Moses' parents were not afraid of the King's commandment. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Hey, be not afraid. Be not afraid. Brother, I'll tell you, fear is a terrible thing that will grip your heart and grip my heart and grip our soul and pull us down into the very discouragements of life and hold us there until we become totally ineffective in the work and labor of God. That's right. Now, they wasn't afraid of what Pharaoh had to say.
Amen.
Not a bit afraid. He said, "Kill the babies." But when that baby come, old Amram said, "Not so. I don't care what Pharaoh says. Take that baby and hide it." And the scripture says in Exodus 2, when they could no longer hide him, they took a little pitch, daubed it with a little slime, and set it out in the bulrushes in the Nile River. I'm going to tell you, and I don't have time to go into that part. That's a type of, that is a type of being covered by the blood. They put their faith, oh yes, in typology, in the blood, to protect that little baby. I tell you, that's where our power and protection is at tonight, is in the blood of the Lamb. That's right. Now listen to what I'm going to say now. Faith not only produces outward, visible works. Now, I want you to get a hold of this. You see, we've gotten the idea today that faith is something that can only be produced visibly, outwardly, manifest in a way that everybody can see it. Why, that church down there had great faith. They built a building. It don't take faith to build a building. It takes money. Did y'all hear what I said? Why, that church down the road must build a humongous worship center. They must have a whole lot of faith. Don't take faith to build a big worship center. I'll tell you what it takes. It takes some millionaires in town that don't know God and ain't got anything better to do with their money. Amen. Brother, that's right. And we major on that today.
Right.
That faith is something that is visible, but that can be manifest outwardly in the works that we do. But I want to remind you that the work that delivered Abraham from the fear of from Pharaoh was not an external work. It was an interior work, an internal work done on the heart and life of that man.
Yeah.
Now, bear with me now. Bear with me. Faith affects also not just the outward visible things, but it affects also the workings of the soul. Have I done lost some of you? I see some of you looking like a stray tomcat. Some of y'all look like that old stray dog out Steve's house. You act like Brother Hall. Hey, faith is first and foremost an internal thing that must first of all deliver us on our own inside before it can ever deliver us on the outside. So now I'll tell you, if you don't ever have victory in you, you'll never have victory out there. Are y'all listening to me? That's where victory begins. Somebody said, "I'm discouraged." Yeah, it's where's it coming from, inwardly or outwardly? It's in you. your affections. Now hear me well. Faith regulates affections. Come on now. Faith regulates your affections. It curbs hastiness and works patience. Do you think that when the Bible said let patience have her perfect work, do you think that's something outwardly? Patience is an inward work of the grace of God. Amen. That's only wrought there by faith. That's right. Let patience have its perfect work. How is faith wrought in a man's heart? By faith. Amen. You've got to have faith to wait on God. That's why folks are double-minded. That's why folks are unstable. Son, their faith is weak. That's right. Amen. I'm talking about eternal in your heart, in your soul, in your life. That's right. It curbs a hastiness and works patience. It chases away gloom and brings joy and peace. It subdues carnal fears and produces courage in the lives of individuals. That's right. Y'all look kind of funny. I'm going to tell you why some of y'all don't have any joy. Faith. You can't believe God for it. You're letting outward circumstances control your inward life. And, amen, Brother Hall. And you're doing it because you don't have enough faith to believe that God can give joy and happiness and hope and blessing in your heart during the most adverse situation in all of your life. Somebody said, Israel didn't. I want to remind you that the more they were afflicted, the more they grew and multiplied, and the more fruitful they became. Come on now, and it was by faith. It was by faith they didn't, that they refused to fear the king's commandment. Are you hearing me? It was faith that overcome their fear. And it'll be faith, my friend, that'll overcome your fear as well. Now I'm going to tell you, you may not have the same fear they had. But I want to repeat a statement I made earlier. Songwriter said, where doubts arise and fears dismay. I'm going to tell you, friend, where fear comes from. Doubt. And doubt is a daddy rabbit to unbelief. And unbelief is opposed to faith. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Unbelief is diametrically and diabolically opposed to faith. And son, when you live in doubt, well, talking about maybe doubt of being saved. I just don't know whether I'm saved or not. Full of doubts. Why? No faith. Our little faith. Well, I don't believe I can live it. Where's your faith? Are y'all listening to what Brother Hall's preaching to you? I don't care if we don't jump any pews. Son, I don't think God directed me to Hebrews chapter 11 for us to jump pews on anyway. I believe He did. Put me there for some of y'all to nail her down. Get you an anchor in your soul. Amen. You might know that you've been born again by the grace of God. That you might know that Jesus has come, went to Calvary, suffered, bled and died, and hallelujah, He's coming again. That's right. Amen. Now, I'm not going to preach tonight on those things that bring fear. But I'm going to preach tonight on when not to be afraid. When not to be afraid. They said they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Why? By faith. But what were they doing that so many of us today may not be doing? Huh? When should you not fear? I want to say that first of all, don't fear. Stay with me now, church. Don't fear when you're walking with God. Isn't that simple? Isn't that simple? That family, Amram and Jochebed, were walking daily with the Lord. Amen. He was their comforter. Doing what, Brother Hall? Called alongside to help them. Somebody said, the Holy Ghost wasn't yet given. I don't just shut up, will you? I get so sick and tired of a bunch of ultra-dispensationalists trying to dispensationalize away the Holy Ghost and tell me that the Spirit of God didn't work in the Old Testament when Genesis chapter number 1 verse 2 refutes that. And the Spirit of God moved across the face of the deep. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, my friend, always has been around in the Trinity of God, awakened in the lives and for the lives of the people of God. Son, He's never been a time when the Holy Ghost was not. You better mark that down. You better mark that down. Son, if you're walking with God, what are you afraid of? If He is your sidekick, if He's your buddy, if He's your friend, if He's your traveling companion, why are you afraid? I will not be afraid when He is near. That's right. He shall enable me to leap over a wall and to run through a troop, is what David said in the book of Psalms. Why do you want to be afraid when God's walking with you? Now, I love old Brother Ricky back there, and he's got a good lethal weapon. And I'm telling you, when I'd get in a tight pinch, I'd be more than happy to have him there. I tell you, it'd boost my courage just a little bit. It'd boost it up there. I mean, a whole lot of fear would leave if he was there with that lethal weapon. Some of them fellas was going to whoop me if I was out preaching on the street, and I'm going to. And some of them fellas come out to whoop up on me. I'm telling you, my knees might shake, but I'd feel a whole lot better and have a whole lot more courage if the old lethal weapon was there. But I'm going to tell you, I'd feel a whole lot better knowing that God was there. Hallelujah to God, yes. That's right. I know that's right. Amen. Old Brother George over there gives me a bear hug sometimes. Son, he don't realize now. He outweighs me by a tad bit. And, buddy, he put the bear hug on you. Bless God, you know you've been bear hugged. I wouldn't mind to have Brother George standing out there with me. Amen. I'd get them guys back to back, and I'd get sandwiched between them. Amen. That's right. That'd give me a little courage. But I'd say, hey, but that's right. But I'm even more thankful that when I stand there to preach, I'd be under the anointed oil of the Holy Ghost of God. And knowing that when I walk, God right there walking with me. Hallelujah to God. Be not afraid when you're walking with Him. Listen to this verse of Scripture in Genesis 15. After these things, verse number 1, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Fear not, Abram. Now, hey, look here. I'm amazed at where the Holy Ghost put that verse of Scripture in the canon. Do you know what took place in chapter number 14? Abraham went out against the kings, the five kings that fought against Sodom and Gomorrah. And he had slaughtered them in the valley of Sheba. And brought back all the spoils, even brought back old Lot. Met Melchizedek along the way, gave Melchizedek a tenth of the spoils. Went on to meet the king of Sodom and Gomorrah. The king had made an effort to give some of the spoils unto Abraham. Abraham said, I don't want your spoils. I don't want none of the people. I don't want lest you would tell the people or tell people that you made Abram rich. Said, I don't want it. Keep it yourself. And I'm amazed in the very next verse, God looked at old Abraham in a vision and said, fear not, Abram, for I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, look here. I don't have Scripture for this, but I'm telling you on the authority of what the Holy Ghost has told me. God searches the hearts, buddy. And God knows what's in the heart of man. And somewhere, somehow, and for some reason, God had looked into the heart of Abraham and detected just a certain amount of fear in his life. And God gives him the comfort, fear not, Abraham. Now, I don't know why he was afraid. He may have been afraid of those kings of Sodom would turn on him because he had embarrassed them. I don't know. I'm reading that in. I don't know. But I do know the Scripture is clear. Fear not. There's nothing to detect anywhere that Abraham was afraid of anything. But apparently something filled his heart with fear. God said, fear not. Hey, don't worry, Abraham. As long as you're walking with me, be not afraid. Let me ask you something tonight. Are you walking with God? Church, do you know you're walking with God arm in arm every day, obedient to this Bible, obedient to the Word of God, sensitive to the Holy Ghost? Is God your constant Christian companion, or is WSOF? Walks with me. How's that song? With me. And he tells me I am his own. I don't know the words to it. Huh? That's right. You sing it, son. You know better than I do. Hallelujah to God. I may not know the song, but I know him. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now look what he said. He said, don't be afraid. You're walking with me. Don't be afraid. I'm your shield. You know what? I looked that up. You know what it means? It means I am your shield above you, under you, on both sides of you. Abraham, I'm a shield. And if he's our shield, look here. Be not afraid. He's our shield. Then that means he is protecting us. Be not afraid. We are protected. Hallelujah to God. If you walk in with God, you are protected. That makes me feel good. I don't know about you. Miss Ruth, that makes me want to spit right in the devil's face. The Lord is my light and my strength, my salvation. In whom shall I fear? In whom shall I be afraid when I'm protected by the shield? Somebody said, what kind of a shield is that? May I say, number one, that we have a shield of blood. That songwriter said, I'm covered over by a shield of blood. No, I tell you, what protection. Amen, son. That's right. Buddy, I'm telling you, when that death angel passed over in the land of Egypt, everybody that was on the inside, behind the blood, son, found protection from the angel by the blood of the Lamb. Somebody said, I've been baptized. Well, I've been to the fountain. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I got her in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. I got her by the blood. Hallelujah to God. I've been baptized in Jesus' name. I've been baptized in a fountain. Hallelujah to God. Woo. That's why they can lose it, honey. They're scared to death. They can lose it. They trusted in the water, but I'm trusted in the blood. That's right. Praise God. Be not afraid when you're walking with God. He's a shield to protect you. That's right. Death angel come by in the land of Egypt. Said, well, I can't get in there. There's blood on that doorpost. That little boy on the inside said, Daddy, go out and look and see if it's still there. He said, son, you know, I know it's still there. You know how he knew it? Hey, if it hadn't have been there, that man had enough sense to know if it hadn't been there, his door had already been opened. God, what a thought. Let me ask you something. Are you still saved? Then why you won't be afraid? If your door is still closed, what are you worrying about? That's biblical, too. Of course, when Noah got in the ark, God shut the door, buddy. What are you worried about? See that? Nah, Lord, I don't have time to go through all that. But I'm telling you in the book of 1 John,
For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. You know what all those are? Everybody look right up here. There's three there that bears witness in the earth. The Spirit, the Holy Ghost that lives within us, witnesses to this world that we are a child of God, or witnesses to our spirit, rather, that we are a child of God. And then there's the water that bears witnesses to the world that we're a child of God. But oh, there's the blood.
Yeah.
Woo! That bears witness to God that we're God's child. You hear what I'm saying? The foundation of God standeth sure. God knoweth those that are His. And let every soul that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, is what Paul said in Timothy. He knows who's His. Hallelujah, God, I feel plumb religious. I had a guy ask me the other night, said, is that fella going to be back in camp meeting this year that throws water on everybody? I said, he'll be there. Amen, the blood. Now I got to try to hurry. Do you know something? You know another shield that we have besides the blood? Everybody listen to this. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh yes, angels all around me. Everywhere. Be not afraid. Why are you afraid? You got a shield. Are you? Be not afraid if you're walking with God. You got a shield. I do. You're looking at a preacher that does believe in guardian angels. Jesus said, I could call, 12 legions of angels right now? Jesus talked about these little ones said the face of their angel to always behold them. Oh, we've forgotten that now. We bet this. We're so scared everybody to call us a charismatic or drifting off, you know, and getting foolish that we just don't want to talk about them guardian angels. But I'm telling you, that Bible said the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, even so the Lord is round about them that fear Him. Old Dwayne Whittemore used to be in charge of the children's home down in at Tabernacle. In fact, Brother Bruce Brown, which is Brother Aubrey Brown's brother, I'm talking about his literal blood brother, took it when Brother Whittemore left. And old Brother Whittemore was preaching down there in Bible College one night in the chapel, and he said he took those kids out one day and one week and had been up in North Carolina, been in a couple of churches, said he'd been in church on Sunday morning, and said they left that church on Sunday morning, had dinner at the pastor's house, and they took off down the highway, headed for another church on Sunday night. Said as they drove down the highway, said he's run along about 60 miles an hour in that van, had 12 or 13 of them little kids and him and his wife in that van, headed to another church. And he said all of a sudden he got the awfulest feeling come over him he ever felt in his life. And it seemed like something like God said, Dwayne, said, stop the van, just pull it off and stop it. He said, I pulled that van off, and he said, I got out and looked at it and said, I didn't see a thing wrong. Said, I got back in it and took off down the highway and said, I didn't drive 2 miles. And the Holy Ghost said, Dwayne, I said, pull this van off and stop it now. He said, he pulled that van off, got out, looked around, looked under the hood. Said, he got out and said, he walked around, kicked all the tires, had good rubber, almost brand new tires, kicked all the tires. He got back in the car and pulled it down in drive. And the Holy Ghost said, don't move this van. Said, he rammed it back up in the park and said, about that time, one of the tires said, boosh! I mean, it blowed fast. Brother Whittemore said immediately. He said, I wondered why, how God could have conveyed such a message to me and how God protected us. And he said, I looked up in that rearview mirror and he said, there was 12 little faces. And said, the thought come to me, 14 angels. 14 angels. Yeah, that's right, the angels. That's right. Somebody said, I don't believe that. Then you don't believe the Bible. That's right. There's a man in the Word of God by the name of Elisha camped at Dothan. And this young man got up one morning and looked out, and my goodness, the hills were full of Syrians all around that city. And he run in and he said, oh, man of God, awaken! The Syrians are around us. And Elisha walked out on that rooftop and looked around. And here's the prayer he prayed. He said, God, he said, open the eyes of this poor little servant boy of mine and let him know that they be more that's for us than they are against us. And the servant's eyes was open, and he looked, and there's chariots of fire. Are you hearing? All around them, man of God. I'm telling you, we got chariots of fire around our church. We've got a shield. If we're walking with God, we got a shield. Hallelujah to God. I heard Brother Nolan say this, Brother Steve. He said, the people of God are immortal in this life till God's done with them. That's true. Our lives are in the hands of God. Then why fear man? Why fear what man can do to me? Now, old flesh is weak. I know she'll tremble and shake. But oh, if God just opened her eyes, Brother Jerry, and let us see them angels. Them chariots of fire. Old Brother Ron Cochran stood right here and preached that message on chariots of fire and drew that picture. And turned that light on that chalk drawing of his and showed all them angels of God and the chariots of fire encamped round about old Elisha. I'm telling you, friend, somebody said God wouldn't do it today. Don't talk so stupid. Then, and I'm not going to turn here, but then I'm going to tell you another shield we have, and it's right along what I'm preaching. What about that shield of faith, Ephesians chapter number 6, and taking the shield of faith that you may quench all the fiery darts of the devil? I'm glad, thank God, yes. Hallelujah. Hal, Brother Hall, we've got a shield, but I want you to notice something else Abraham had. Now, I'm going to try to hurry. He said, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Not only did he have a shield walking with God, but he had a spoil. Not only was that shield a protection, but honey, that reward was his provisions. Here's what I think old Abraham done. Now, I'm just reading it in now. I think Abraham scratched his head and said, unto God, I have fouled up. I could have had all of that, all of it. It could have all been mine, every bit of it. And here I've done messed up. I could have had all of that money, all of those possessions. I could have had all that, and I gave it to the church. I must have fouled up bad. And here's what, can I put this in hall theology for you? God said, Abraham, don't worry. That's menial stuff. You're worried about them little old feeble possessions you got. I'm just not your spoil. I'm your exceeding great reward, Abraham. I heard, I don't know if y'all heard Brother Rain Sunday morning or not. Anybody here hear Brother Rain preaching Sunday morning? But he said, so many preachers today. He said, I could name you tons of them, buddy. They're doing nothing but preaching for money. They just preaching for money and preaching for possessions. But I'm telling you, he got cranked. And he said, you looking at one preacher, said, I don't need no more money. I need God. You hear me well? We don't need more money. We need more of God. He is our exceeding great reward. You don't need more money and more possessions. Buddy, you need more of God. And if you get more of God, all these THINGS things will be added unto you. And provisions. He had just refused the spoil from the battle that he had won. And God said, don't you worry about that. Well, when else, Brother Hall? When else do we not need to be afraid? Don't be afraid when you're walking with God. Don't be afraid when you're in the will of God. Do you know when Jacob had gotten the word of God in Genesis 31? Said the angel of God spake unto him in a dream. He was in Paddan Aram. He had gotten Rachel. He had gotten Leah. He had gotten wealth down there from Laban with God and was getting ready to head back into the land of Canaan. And God said unto him, lift up now thine eyes and see the rams and so on. He said, I am the God of Bethel where thou anointest the pillar and where thou vowedest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land. Return unto the land of thy kindred. But folks, something strange happened. The closer that old Jacob got to the land of Canaan, the more his heart was filled with fear because there's a man back there by the name of Esau. And the Bible said this in chapter number 32. The Bible said
and Jacob. And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham. And Jacob said, O God, my father Abraham, and the God of my father Isaac, and the God of my father Isaac and Jacob. He said, the Lord which saidest unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Listen now, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him. I want to say to you, you don't have to be afraid when you're in the will of God. God had already told Jacob, get out of this country. Go back to your homeland. I'll take care of Esau for you. And he goes on in the next verse saying, thou saidest, I will surely do thee good. He said, Lord, you told me you'd do me good, and I'd multiply, my seed would multiply. And said, here, now I'm a facing him. And said, I'm a facing Esau, and I'm afraid of him, and I don't know what to do. I'm telling you, friend, that fear, hey, look here, you don't have to be afraid if you know you're in the will of God. Let me ask you something. Everybody in here knows you're in the will of God tonight. If you're in the will of God for your life, you'll just stand up. I mean, tell me there ain't but three people in this whole church that knows you're in God's will. You're in bad shape, son.
Amen.
If you don't know you're in God's will sitting in this church tonight, you're in bad shape. Thank you. You can sit down. I won't say that to you again. If you couldn't stand up and you don't know you're in God's will being in this church, you ought to come up here right now and resign and go somewhere and find you one where you can be in God's will.
Amen.
That's right. Are y'all hearing what Brother Hall said? If you don't know you're in God's will, God help you. I mean, tell me, son, you don't know you're in God's will. But if you're in God's will, if you're in God's will right now in the church, that is God's will for your life. I'm just trying to put her down where the rubber meets the road. It's time we wake up. Are y'all listening to me? If God's not showed you something else for your life, you are in God's will. He didn't have any problem directing Jacob, and he won't have any problem directing you. Our problem is we're looking for something God don't want us to have right now. That's exactly right. Now, and look here. Look here, I'm going to show you something. Where the shield, where walking with God has to do with protection, the will of God has to do with His promises. God had promised Jacob, go back and I'll multiply you there. Are y'all? That was the promise. Have you no promise from God for your life? What about the promise? Oh, look here, church. Don't be afraid. We've got the promise of the cross. Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27, verse number 35, said, and they crucified him. We've got the promise of the cross. Why should we be afraid? Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, that's God's perfect will for a man to be saved. And if you're saved, then you're initially in the will of God for your life. Amen. What about the promise of His comfort? 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulations.
Yes.
You ought to go back and circle that word, A-L-L, in your Bible.
Yes.
Now, don't get wet feet on me now.
Yes.
Don't get wet feet on me now. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you? He's the God of all comfort. If you cannot find comfort from Him in the valley you're going through, and Tammy, you can't find comfort from Him in the valley you're going through, and Doug, if you and Lisa can't find comfort from Him in the valley you're going through, or me or anybody else, it's not God's fault, son, it's our fault. We've got the promise in that book that He's the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all, A-L-L, all. Now, don't quit on me now. I'm trying to help us. I'm trying to help us, church. Amen. It's time we got some things nailed down and realize what we're doing for God. That's right. It ain't no time. Double-minded and flip-flopping around not knowing what God wants out of our life. I'm telling you right. It ain't no time for that. Amen.
What about the promise of His coming? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven for this same Jesus, whom ye seen taken away, shall so come in like manner as ye seen Him go away? Hallelujah to God. He's coming again, church. That's right. What a promise. What a promise. Walking in the will of God. And then when we wrestle with God, don't be afraid. When you're wrestling with God, right on in that chapter, God told Jacob, said God left him alone, or he was left alone, and he wrestled with a man all night long till the breaking of day. Wrestled with him. And when he seen he couldn't prevail, the angel of the Lord touched the hollow of his thigh, and the sinew was dried up. And he changed his name from Jacob, which means supplanter, unto Israel, which means a prince of God. And I come across something in this today, and I'm telling you, I can't explain it. But when he, and this has to do, by the way, with wrestling with God, with the power of God. For he said down in the verses, he said, as a prince, hast thou power with God and with men. Are you here? I sat down at our table today trying to eat, and I asked my wife, I said, honey, what does it mean to have power with God and power with men? Can you answer that? Do we have power with God and with men? I think what God's telling him here, you prevailed in wrestling prayer with me, Jacob, and you've not only got power with me, but he said, you've got power with men. Esau bowed at his feet. And I'm going to tell you, I didn't know anything else to write down, so here's what I put down. I said, I'm the winner. I'm the winner. If I've got power with God and with men, it makes me the winner. It makes my enemies even be at peace with me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It gives me a power with God and an influence with men. Oh, yes, sir. I can't explain all that. But it's true. What are you afraid? If you're walking with God, if you're in the will of God, if you're wrestling with God, then be not afraid. His parents, Moses' parents, was not afraid of the king's commandment. Not afraid of the king's commandment. They hid that boy 3 months. What are you afraid of tonight? What are you afraid of tonight? Y'all get mad? I hope not. Because I want everybody to get this. If you're at will of God in this church and God's not told you anything else to do, then quit looking for it. He ain't told you nothing else. It's that simple. Now, you may not like that, but that's Bible. Now, our problem is we're looking for something else for God to do when God ain't told us to do nothing. In other words, we're trying to bargain with God and get God to do something God ain't ready to do. Just might as well forget it. He ain't going to do it. Let's bow our heads. Stand together.